Title: Layering 3 Breaks Without Phase Issues Advanced. Alright, let's get into one of the most powerful and most dangerous moves in drum and bass, stacking 3 breakbeats. When it works, it's that perfect hybrid. You get classic jungle character, crisp modern hats, and a tight punch layer that makes the snare feel like it's punching you in the sternum. But when it doesn't work, you get the opposite. Weak kick, snare that suddenly sounds hollow, and this weird "where did my drums go" feeling the moment you hit mono. In this lesson, we're building a repeatable system in Ableton Live, 3 breaks, each with a job, aligned properly, frequency separated on purpose, and finished on a bus so it still feels raw but hits hard. Here's the concept up front. You're going to create 3 layers. Break A is the body. That's your groove, your character, your mid-range chew. Think, the one that makes you nod your head even if it's low passed. Break B is the top. It's mostly hats, air, shimmer, little bits of texture. It should not be trying to be a snare layer. If it is, it'll fight. Break C is the punch. This is your transient reinforcement. Tight kick and snare impact, controlled sustain, and ideally not a ton of room tone. If you remember one phrase from this whole session, make it this. One layer is the knife, one is the meat, one is the air. Step 0 is choosing breaks that want to work together. Don't pick 3 breaks that all sound like they were recorded in the same giant echo room. One roomy break can be character. 3 roomy breaks is instant mush, and you'll chase it with EQ for an hour and still lose. So for your body break, pick something mid-heavy. Often there's a lot of useful attitude in the 150 to 600 Hz range. For the top break, choose something bright and busy. Thin is good. If it has a huge snare, it's not really a top break, it's another body break wearing a hat. For the punch break, try to find something clean. Tight transients, less ambience, and ideally not super wide stereo weirdness. Now, set up your session. Drag each break onto its own audio track and name them clearly. Break A, body. Break B, top. Break C, punch. Now we warp, and this part is not optional, because a lot of phase problems are actually warp problems. Open each clip, turn warp on, set the SIG, BPM correctly, so Ableton actually understands what you dragged in. Then choose a warp mode. Most of the time for breaks, beats mode is your best friend. Set it to beats, preserve transient and start your envelope around 100. If it gets clicky or chopped up, pull that envelope down to around 60 to 80. Here's why you care. If each loop is worked differently, even if they start aligned at bar 1, the internal transient placement can drift differently across the bar. That means the phase relationship is literally moving while the loop plays. That's when you get the "it sounds different every hit" problem. Next, choose a timing master. Pick one break to be the groove reference, and usually that's break A, the body. This is your anchor. You're not trying to force everything to some perfect grid. You're trying to make the other layers cooperate with the groove that already feels right. Now we align transients. Timing first, then phase. Zoom in stupid close to the first downbeat, like, close enough that you can see the transient shape clearly. On break B, find the first clear transient. Could be a hat, could be a kick. Then adjust the clip start so that transient lands with break A's transient. Do the same on break C. Turn snap off while you do this, because snap will make you think you're being precise when you're not. Once it's roughly aligned, we do micro timing. This is where a lot of producers overcomplicate things. Before you start adding warp markers everywhere, use track delay. In Live's mixer section, use track delay and move layers by tiny amounts. We're talking plus or minus 0.5 to 3 milliseconds. If the snare feels flammed, like 2 hits instead of 1 hit, track delay is often the cleanest fix, because it shifts the whole clip globally without messing with the internal groove. Here's the decision point. If it feels aligned at beat 1 but by beat 3 or 4 it starts pulling apart, that's not a track delay problem anymore. That's drift. So now we fix drift with minimal warp markers. Go to the point where it drifts. Usually a snare on beat 3 is a perfect checkpoint. Drop a warp marker right on that transient and nudge it into place so it locks with break A. Keep warp markers minimal. Every marker is you saying, Ableton, rewrite time. Too many and the break loses funk and starts sounding edited instead of played. And quick DNB reminder, you're fixing destructive misalignment, not sterilizing swing. Hats can be a little late. Ghost notes can breathe. The main kick and snare relationship is what needs to feel solid. Now we get into phase management, the part everyone talks about like it's magic. Ableton stock devices don't give you a dedicated phase rotation tool, but you can solve 90% of this with 3 moves: polarity checks, frequency ownership, and mono control on the low end. First, polarity check. On break C, the punch layer, drop a utility device. Now toggle phase invert on the left and right. Listen for weight, especially in the snare body around 180 to 250 HE and the kick low around 50 to 120. You're not choosing the setting that sounds brighter. You're choosing the setting that makes the hit feel more solid and more centered. If you flip polarity and the snare suddenly disappears or gets paper thin, that's a sign you were partially canceling. Keep the fuller option. Next, frequency ownership. This is the real secret. Put EQ8 first on every break track. On break A, the body high pass around 35 to 50 HC to clear sub rumble. Keep the 120 to 600 region. That's your chew. If it's boxy, dip 250 to 400 by maybe 1 to 3 dB. On break B, the top, high pass aggressively, usually somewhere around 200 to 350 HC with a steeper slope like 24 dB per octave. You want this layer to stop arguing with the snare body and the kick area. This audio version is shortened for playback.